Welcome to our very first Master Your Health podcast. I'm Amanda Meixner, aka MeowMix on Instagram. I'm a healthy lifestyle nutrition expert. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, my business partner, and my fiance, Chris Rocchio.
How's everyone doing?
Whether you found this episode through one of our Instagrams or on iTunes, we wanted to give you a little rundown of what to expect moving forward. We created this podcast to really show you the tips and tricks of how to master your own health and make it super accessible to wherever you are, whether you're in traffic, walking on the treadmill. We'll be there in your phone, in your pocket, our little voices, guiding you through this process, making it super fun, and really just helping you reach your goals and feel good overall.
Right. I mean, we really wanted to focus on everything that can fit into this large umbrella that can be considered the health realm. And so whether we're talking about day-to-day routine practices on day-to-day nutrition or fitness, or even some of the more out-of-the-box topics, you know, with the health hacks and some things like that. So we really just try to find the best up-to-date information and knowledge on this kind of stuff and pass it on to you guys. And so, but with this first podcast, I really wanted to talk to Amanda and kind of just sit her down with you guys and ask her the questions that we get most often through her email and through her page. And so she can kind of just break down what works for her on the meal prep, how she creates her daily routine, and how she has a regimen in the morning to make sure that routine gets actualized, as well as some other tips in terms of getting over some personal obstacles, you know, because she tells you how she overcame her eating disorder, how to get past that and still be on the healthy losing weight mindset without being over obsessive. So she really nails it. So yeah, let's get after it. We'll ask her some questions and get to know her a little bit better. Before we get into all the tips, I wanted you to kind of talk about your story. I think that's one of the most powerful things about you, is to get into how you got so disciplined. Was it one of these things where you kind of turned over a new leaf overnight, or was this gradual process?
Are you saying I'm more disciplined than you, though?
Absolutely not.
But anyways, since you know the story, but for everyone listening, the first thing that started me off on the journey, well, I've always been into fitness when it comes to playing sports. I was a soccer player, swimmer, I ran track. So I've been into that kind of things, but it wasn't until I graduated college that I really got into the nutrition side of what I do now, which is like a lot of what I do now. Mm-hmm. But the thing that started my whole journey with meal prepping is that, you know, we work in an office 9 to 6, 5 days a week. And the best way to save money, but also eat really healthy, was to meal prep every Sunday. So I started documenting that journey on Instagram, which at that time, not that many people were doing like the whole meal prep for the week, unless you were kind of like a bodybuilder. So it was kind of unique, and I started growing organically that way. And throughout that whole time, I've always been obsessed with but I've always wanted to share the message that you don't have to starve yourself to lose weight because of my eating disorder I had in high school. Mm-hmm. And dealing with all of that. So that's always been important to me, because there is a healthy way to lose weight. And I really wanted to show that through my meal prep and eating tons of these volume foods when you're eating more whole foods. Mm-hmm. So that's how I kind of got started on all of that. And, you know, the more you get into it, the more you learn, the more you want to optimize your body. Like, you really want to just keep feeling better. And that's, you know, where I come from, the place of like, oh, I just want to feel better. Well, of course, always looking good, but a little bit secondary now.
Right. And were you always documenting it from the beginning on Instagram, or did you just decide to do that all of a sudden once you started seeing the hype around it? Like, how did you get into basically putting in years and years of your life for free before this actually got turned into a business?
Well, all I have to say is, one, do not scroll too far back on my Instagram, because it's embarrassing. Because it was like, first of all, it was a personal account.
And
it
I can
was,
relate.
It was like selfies with the weird quotes over it and just so embarrassing.
Booty pics with an inspirational
quote.
Yeah,
you know, but you got to learn. So once I started sharing the meal prep content, because I was meal prepping, like, I think people found it so inspiring to see like 5 days of food like laid out, like, oh my goodness, or like my grocery cart or all the groceries laid out in a very organized, colorful fashion.
Basically how nobody does it. But
yeah. I know, I'm like the one place in my life that I'm actually organized is my food. My
yeah, nutrition. Once it gets home, you forget about it.
Please don't come look at our apartment right now. But yeah, so just kind of the momentum behind that. And then there were so many other pages popping up sharing, resharing those types of photos. So you know, that was super inspiring to me. And then later on, I started to do those nutrition, like, informational graphics. Mm-hmm. And those really took off. And I also realized it was kind of a better way to teach people about food than just like, hey, here's my food, here's my recipes. This was kind of like, okay, get out of yourself a little bit. And like, here's why you should swap to like this type of food, etc.
Right. No, I like that format a lot, for sure. I started veering off from the, I wouldn't say boring, but it got boring for me just doing the meal prep day in and day out. And if I got bored with it, I was thinking that the followers were. So I started being like, hey, let's throw in some of the benefits of the foods that I'm incorporating into my diet, you know, into my meal plans. So yeah, that's one of my favorite things about Instagram, is being able to scroll through and find little tidbits of information you didn't know before and things like that. So
it's funny because we started off as much more like food and recipes.
Right.
And then now I feel like you like share less. I share recipes and informational, and you're like, I want it to be informational.
Yeah, I've completely gone 180 on it. It's just completely gone. I want to make sure that I'm providing value on everything like that. And you're just, yeah, you there's things that you post up there. I'm like, oh, that's not going to perform well. And you have like 4,000 followers from it. It's like, get out of here with that. You know, so obviously I don't know what the hell I'm doing, you know, so you're killing it. But no, I mean, that's definitely what I think is important about it, is that when, you know, aside from all the meal prep stuff, is that just people understanding is that success on Instagram is years and years of free work.
Oh, definitely.
And putting in time that you, I mean, I was with you even before we got together, when we were hanging out, like, you hadn't gotten paid for anything on Instagram until, you know what, it was like, wasn't until even like a couple years ago that you turned into a business.
Wait, I want everyone to know how you wooed me though. The thing that got me the most was, I was, okay, so I had this thing on my Instagram where every Sunday I would like share my groceries laid out on the floor. And then, you know, mm-hmm. I'd make the food, and then I'd be like, this is the meals I made. So like, I hated missing that Sunday of sharing, like, here are all my groceries. And I was flying back on Sunday from Cincinnati. I was flying back to Los Angeles, and Chris was like waiting for me to get back. I think you were probably over at my apartment, and he surprised me and went and got my groceries and like laid out like the way I, and it takes a little while to like organize all the food in like like a perfect fashion. And he took the photo for me, so I could, this is before he had his own Instagram, so he was like, here's your photo, like, so you don't have to worry about that. I was like, oh my god, who is this person, like, just got my groceries. And
now she does all the shopping, I don't take any of those photos, so
and we trade off.
But I already put in my work.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely Instagram. I mean, and I feel like any social media platform or email list, like, it's, you know, years of providing value, but it's also, it's like about building trust with the people you're following and trying to like figure out things without, you know, trying to worry about how you have to sell something mm-hmm. so early on. I think it's really helpful to like growing. And then also like, that's just, I don't know, I couldn't even imagine starting off just selling something.
Right. No, absolutely. But let's get back to the meal prep and the tips and things like that. So, because I also, you know, you talked about the eating disorder and how that got you into it or whatever. And obviously it takes a while to find a balance, you know, between being so obsessed with it and then kind of relinquishing some control over it. And then, you know, like I said, finding the balance. And so did it take you a while, or did you kind of just fall into a happy equilibrium after some time?
Oh, definitely took a while. Okay. Which I say, anyone who's dealing with that, there's obviously no sub for professional help, number one, like mm-hmm. super important. That's what helped me out of the, you know, out of the gate, was professional help when I was in high school. And then after, you know, after doing, being under treatment for a little bit with a therapist, whatnot, and, you know, getting in touch with the fact that we need food to fuel us. After that, I went to college and kind of like just didn't focus on that so much for a little, which I think was necessary. Like I kind of, I gained the freshman 15, but I think it was great just to like, just let go of that for a while where you're trying to, you know, heal. If you have, you know, I was anorexic or bulimia or those kind of eating disorders, just let go of that obsession for a little bit mm-hmm. before coming back to it. But luckily, so after like treatment and then years of not being too obsessive, I was finally able to come back to it and find this balance. And it was great because I was like, now after doing all this research and understanding food a little better and understanding that weight loss was possible with just like a smaller, like you don't have to go, you're not trying to get to like zero calories or even like a thousand cal. Like for most people, it's like a moderate calorie deficit. And for me, like I'm taller, I'm active. So it's going to be like my calorie deficit range is about 1800 calories. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, really getting in tune with how you kind of upping vegetables and upping volume foods and not having to go too low calorie. That's what helped me later on after I let go of it for a while. So yeah, it was to answer your question, it was a long transition.
Right.
And I think anyone in that position, it really helps if you don't focus on that for a while. Mm-hmm. And then you can go back to it, hopefully with a healthier mindset.
So you didn't start off, you know, when you, after you kind of relinquished the control, you went to college, you gained the freshman 15, and then finally you had the realization that everybody does, okay, I got to rein this in. So you didn't start off calorie counting. It was more of an intuitive thing, like, okay, I just need to stop doing this so much, start doing this a little bit more. Was it like that, or were you into the calorie counting?
Back then I found it easier. Like one was just cutting out drinking.
Yeah, well, that's so important. It really is.
And then for some reason I had like, it was like a slippery slope with the Sims, not like eating like paninis and like just so many sandwiches, which mm-hmm. can end up really high calorie and just all these extra carbs that I didn't need at the time. So at that time I just cut out like very processed carbs. I cut out bread and pasta and all that, and still ate a balanced diet and listened to my body and what I wanted to eat. But by doing that, I naturally lost weight. So you can, you know, that's why the paleo diet works, obviously, or like the keto, or I mean, part of it is hormonal balance, like we say, but also part of it is like when you cut out some food groups, you're just naturally going to cut some calories. So it was a nice way of cutting calories, but still like I was eating a lot of like the other, like the vegetables, the fruits and protein, and just kind of listening to my body. I wasn't so like focusing on calories. Nothing wrong with calories, because now we use calorie macro tracking to mm-hmm. our advantage, which I also like. That's why I'm like, try different things.
Right. I mean, but you don't have to. I mean, especially if you're coming from, you know, a situation where you haven't been tracking, you know, you're always in a surplus and you know, you're always gaining. It's just one of the few things, the small tweaks, is just, okay, let me just start by eliminating a certain things. Like, you know, I'm going to eliminate or at least reduce the amount of processed food and no longer drink soda. And you don't have to calorie count and go like that. It's just, I just want to make sure that I'm making better choices, that I'm going to stop doing this so much and start doing this a little bit more, like more fiber, less soda, that kind of stuff. And so it doesn't always have to be that, like, okay, I need to know exactly what my calories maintenance level is so I can figure out what my 15% deficit is going to be, like all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to be so scientific. It can be very gradual. Caveat to that is definitely, I do think processed foods is a huge thing, especially if the majority of your diet is processed foods. You know, I mean, I'm not going to be too dogmatic about it, but let's face it, there's a much larger percentage of it nowadays than there ever was, and our bodies aren't ready for that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, even just recently in this February 2019 randomized controlled trial, they linked ultra processed foods diet with like extra calorie intake, which led to weight gain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's plenty of studies to back that just processed foods in general cause you to eat more, or, you know, there's different obviously mechanisms with your insulin sensitivity and other like problematic ingredients in the processed food. So there's many compounding factors when it comes to eating processed food.
Right. And obviously, you know, that you have the idea of hyper palatable foods, and those are way more likely to be hyper palatable, which it's a lot easier to eat more servings than normal than of those foods than it is, let's just say, like, you know, just some raw veggies or just a plain piece of fruit, something like that. So something that would actually signify some level of satiety in you, which does not happen in hyper palatable foods. So I like that study. You have to send me the link to that, but
yeah,
you can find that study in the
those,
show notes for sure. But yeah, let's get into some of the tips that you have for some of the people that have the very regimented schedule and they have a busy day. You know, let's just say you have kids, or, you know, you have a long commute and you don't have the option to cook all of your meals or whatever. Like, how would you tell somebody to get into this meal prep thing?
Oh man, meal prepping is a way of life. No, but really simple is setting time aside on the weekend, because I'm going to assume either during the week you're like driving your kids to school, running around like crazy, or you have a 9-to-5. So it's really important to set time aside on the weekend, and that would be to first go grocery shopping, which my first tip would be to write out what you want to eat for the week, then write your grocery list. That's a little hack. It definitely helps me cut back on food waste. And then set aside like at least a few hours on Saturday or Sunday, or if you really don't want to cut into your weekend, you could also do Monday evening if you have the energy. I find I don't, so I'd do Sunday. To go grocery shopping, and then to meal prep at least probably like breakfast and lunches for the week. Or don't be afraid to start small though. You know, if you just want to do lunches, do that, or just breakfast.
Lunches and snacks,
yeah. You know, depends on your schedule. And if you're at home for breakfast and dinner, you could totally just cook that at home. But then getting that groceries too, so you don't have to worry about that during the week. So I find that to be the most helpful. That's what helped me when I worked 9 to 6 and I did all my food. I did all my meals because I was so busy. And also another hack recently that I've been doing, that if I like really can't make it to the grocery store, is like Instacart or any. There's different. I think other grocery stores also have their own online services. Mm-hmm. But nice to take that excuse of like, man, I can't make it to the grocery store today. Online order that stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's worth it.
It's definitely worth it. So. Yeah, that's what I found that helps me the most. And then I like to use glass meal prep containers because that really helps the taste. And like I've read online that it actually could help your food last longer. Mm-hmm. And then the other question I get asked all the time, like, oh, doesn't it go bad by like Thursday or Friday? And for me, I find it fine up to Friday, like
right.
up to 5 days. I think it's a little bit like your taste buds, like how sensitive you are.
It also depends on what you're cooking. Like, yeah. I wouldn't prep fish all week.
Oh, no.
I would prep maybe for the next day, but never like prep fish for Friday.
Yeah, seafood. I think seafood for me, I found had a max like 3-day rule, like up to Wednesday, mm-hmm. but could be risky. But yeah, also for people that are a little more sensitive with their taste buds, you could freeze the last day or two, put in the freezer. Mm-hmm. Just have to remember to thaw it out.
Yeah. And also there are certain foods, this is a trial and error thing, but you know, say if you go, you're at a situation where you can't reheat your food, you know, but you have a cooler to put it in or something like that, but you can't reheat it. Obviously some stuff is going to taste better mm-hmm. or can taste better cold than others, you know? So like, I mean, I would never, you know, have fish or like a steak or something like that. I would never eat that cold or whatever, but like chicken's always fine. You know, I always find, or like you having some eggs or something like that and turkey. So, you know,
my salad jars are great.
Cold. Oh, the salad jars are legit. Those are some of the best, you know? Yeah. And to me, I'm never not in the mood for one of those, especially if I'm on the go and stuff like that. So yeah, that could be possibly the best tip that you can have, is that knowing which foods that are savable and which ones you should probably just prep fresh.
Yeah, definitely seafood is like, I tend to not prep that, which is great. Obviously you want variety in your diet. So I actually try to eat more seafood on the weekends, because mm-hmm. then on the weekends I cook as I go a bit more. I don't meal prep on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So that'd be a great time to like cook some salmon or some shrimp. But you, like we said, you can prep seafood for the week, but probably Monday, Tuesday,
right?
Maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, and start with I would start with fewer recipes to go with. Yeah. You know, if you want to create some variety, go with Monday, Wednesday, and Friday preps, and then Tuesdays and Thursdays, and start small, and then add variety. Because, when I first was doing meal prepping, because I wanted to provide so much variety for my Instagram page. I'm spending way too much time in the kitchen. I spend like 6 hours of prep in the kitchen. That's just unacceptable.
Well, so, I used to be into the Monday, Wednesday, Friday the same, and then Tuesday, Thursday different. Mm-hmm. But like I'd rather spend less time in the kitchen, and I don't mind eating the same Monday through Friday and then switch it up the next week.
Right.
Because like, yeah, every week I just try to switch it up a little bit, and that's enough variety for me. And the weekend I cook at home. Mm-hmm. So that's what I found, the right variety. I would rather save the time in the kitchen and just cook it all the same. So it's kind of up to you guys, you know, how much time you want to spend in the kitchen. But I guess on that, another time saving hack, at least on the weekend, is to do the buffet style meal prep.
Right.
Plus also, if you don't have a lot of room in your fridge or you have a family, cooking things, buffet style is like when you cook in bulk, like you cook a whole chicken or you cook the potatoes and you don't separate it out into like these perfectly portioned meals. Mm-hmm. Plus then you can mix and match as you go.
Right.
Did you ever? I don't know if you ever really did those, though. Those more me.
Buffet styles? I mean, I did when I did. I never photographed them and put them on my page, but I did them all the time.
Yeah, you're
right. I would do pretty much just one day. I mean, I'll just be honest with you guys. I pretty much would just do one day of my meal prep that I was going to do for the following day, and then my lunches for the week, and then everything else was buffet. Yeah. I would never portion it out because I never knew what I wanted to do, you know, like what I wanted to have combos with, things like that. So
it's a nice option. And sometimes when I'm traveling and I get home and I don't have as much time to meal prep, I'm like, you know, let me just cook a bunch of chicken thighs, some asparagus, some potatoes, and it'll be better than nothing for the week for sure. But I do like portioned out.
So what kind of things do you like to have? Let's talk about maybe some workout nutrition. So, like, what do you like to have before, during, after your workout to keep that body looking so proper?
Oh, man, you've been on my butt about the proper. I'm going to say Chris is all about the nutrition around fitness. Definitely. I mean, I'm getting into it, but he's like, you have to do this.
Get it right.
But because I train fasted in the morning, I do. You don't have to, but I do try to do the amino acids, which you can tell the reasons why. That's great. Mm-hmm. Those are your favorite.
Yeah, no, we'll get into it in my podcast. We don't have to do it on yours.
And then post-workout, I do try to have whey protein because that does get your body transitioning into recovery mode faster with a little bit of dark berries for the antioxidants. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, sometimes I just like just the whey protein because then you don't have to blend it. But other times, you know, I'll add the berries and the spinach. Mm-hmm. But usually my amino acids I'll drink before and I'll sip during the workout. So that's kind of it. And then I like beta alanine because it gets you that tingly feeling during your workout.
Mm-hmm.
So that's.
And you like to hit the sauna after your workout too, right?
I do.
Before you come home and have a meal and stuff, which is actually very beneficial because if you can withhold taking the whey protein and taking any sugar or anything like that, that's going to spike any insulin after your workout. Then going into doing 2 20-minute sauna sessions. And I think it's, I forgot exactly what it is. You have to look it up. I think it's 160 degrees Celsius. I put it in the show notes. But I think it's 2 sauna sessions separated by a 40-minute rest at 160 degrees Celsius can increase your growth hormone. And so if you can withhold it without, you know, like I said, because the whey or some sugar after your workout will spike your insulin, which will suppress that mechanism. But if you go in there, take a little bit of just essential aminos, then that's a great little trick for a post workout.
It's crazy. Some of the studies on the sauna, because I've definitely seen a study where the sauna enhanced like endurance performance when it comes, mm-hmm. if you do it like after your athletic performance.
Oh yeah, we'll do a whole podcast on the benefits of sauna and the different on like what tempers you'd have to do and where it's applicable and where it's not, going to hot yoga does not apply to the studies for the sauna.
I mean, it
sessions.
Could work. They just don't have any studies on it.
Right. It's just not because obviously that temperature is not that high. So,
you know what I also get, but by the way, I love the sauna because it's so hard for me to sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the only way I sweat, which is like such a release for your body and like obviously important.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why I got her one for Christmas.
You did. My portable sauna. I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, if you see me in this, it's like what, bright orange.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks so janky, but the thing works. I mean, 45 minutes into it, I'm dying trying to get to 50 minutes. Cause when I went to Shape House one time and that's the infrared sauna, time limit they set. So I was like, I always try to hit that, but that last 5 minutes, every time, like the first 10 minutes, I'm like, is this thing even on? And then by minute 45, you're dying. So, I mean, they definitely work for sure.
Yeah, they have a bunch of different portable infrared saunas on Amazon, mm-hmm. if you guys want to look it up. We can also link to the one we have, but mm-hmm. they're also a little cheaper versions than the one we have.
Yeah,
but I do like ours.
We got a relatively cheap version, though. There's the personal ones at home that are like up to $3,000 and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But one of the other things I want to talk about, because you're so obsessed with it, and rightfully so, is sleep, because obviously it's so important to your health. But I have to tell you guys, do not get between this woman and her sleep, because that's her priority. That is the number one priority. Don't get it twisted. It's not me. It's not health. It's
hey.
Not, no, it is her sleep, number one. So, yeah, let's talk about it. Like,
Chris, number one, sleep, number two, I swear.
She's lying.
I really do love my sleep. And I think for everyone out there, the first thing you should do is set up your bedroom as a sleep sanctuary. I think we do a great job about that. You found a good bed, so I'll give you props to that. Mm-hmm. But so the few things that I like about our bedroom is, one, the blackout curtain. That has been life changing, especially like if your sleep schedule is a little off or something and you want to be sleeping when the sun's a little bit up. It's amazing. But also, if you live in an urban city like us in Los Angeles, the street lights are so bright. So get that blackout curtain. There's plenty on Amazon. Just search on Amazon. Totally worth it. We can link to the one we have in the show notes. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I try to do, lately I've been like breaking my rule every now and then, but I need to go back to it, is not using the cell phone in the bedroom. Well, we're really great because we don't have a TV in the bedroom. So if you do, get that out of your bedroom. Like, try not to have screens in your bedroom, but really not putting my cell phone by the bed. Try not to use it when I'm in bed. So I either keep my phone out in the living room, or I'll keep it like in a really far outlet in our bedroom if I have to have it in there. But that's why I got an alarm clock, so I don't have to use my phone. The other thing I like about our bedroom sleep setup is the alarm clock that wakes you up with light. That's been great because naturally, when you think about it, that's how we used to wake up, was with light, not with noises. Mm-hmm. And plus, I don't wake you up. You like that?
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. But not only that, but I mean, getting woken up with an alarm is just a cortisol shot in the morning. You know, I mean, we already have a natural jolt of cortisol in the morning for motivation. Like, that's just natural body chemistry or whatever. But there's just sometimes where if you're woken up out of deep sleep with this overbearing alarm, it's like, it's just crazy. The stress you feel from it, you know? And so like the light, it's so peaceful. And like you said, it doesn't wake me up. So it's
perfect. He's cheesing right now. He's happy. Yeah. I remember like every now and then I have to set my alarm because I'm worried. Like, usually the light works, but if it's like super early and I'm paranoid, that's when I'll like bring my phone in. And he's like, do you really have to set up your sound? You're like, can you just wake up to your light? Because it really doesn't. I understand. I get up a little bit earlier than him. Nothing crazy. But and the other thing I like to do before bed, which I haven't been quite as good, but this is also great, is reading a book right before I go to sleep. Because then I'm kind of thinking about, I'm reading Game of Thrones. We're watching Game of Thrones. So a lot of Game of Thrones. Yeah. but then I'm kind of thinking about the book a little, like I'm not thinking as much about like the stress of life, and I get off the screen a little bit. So that really helps me. And then the other thing outside of the bedroom is trying to, like, you know, we're so obsessive in society about a morning routine. I think that's like mostly like a normal accepted thing, but we don't think about a night routine. Mm-hmm. And that's equally as important. So for us, obviously winding down, and we play cards. We do like our shows. We do like Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have our like blue light blocker glasses on, which also help, you know, because blue light suppresses the release of melatonin. So we have that. We also use Efflux on the computer. So just setting up a really good night routine is crucial. I don't know if you have you noticed a difference, Chris. I don't know. You don't always get the best sleep, though.
Well, I have very poor time sleeping, no matter if I can do all of these mechanisms, and I get very poor deep sleep because I think I'm just getting old. But I've also just traditionally in the past, before I was so concerned and focused on health, is that I'd be up till 2-3 o'clock in the morning reading and, you know, BSing around. And so like, I always thought sleep was overrated. And so
I remember I used to call you No Sleep Ninja. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I swear. Because I'd wake up really early, work out. I'd stay up really late. And it was just one of those things. And then, I read Sean Stevenson's book, and then it was like, forget about it. I need to try to at least get a wrap, get a handle of this. And so the whole thing is that I don't know what it is. I'm trying to pinpoint it, but as of right now, I would think the main thing that's holding me back is screen time, you know, is that because our entire business is on our computers and stuff like that, and I have a really tough time shutting it down and stopping work at a decent amount of time, so yeah, it's screen time. Like I said, it's one of the most important things that you can do to get your sleep under control. But
I mean, I think your sleep has definitely improved for you. So it's kind of all relative then.
Oh, yeah. In terms of overall time spent in bed, yes. And but I'm literally, I'm up every hour and a half, 2 hours in the middle of the night.
All right, just, no one look at Chris for an example of sleep. You can come over to my side.
I can tell you all the benefits of good sleep and certain tricks to start getting it, but I'm not by any means speaking from experience.
Well, the other tip, which I wonder if you do, is to not eat a big meal close to sleep. I mean, like, I've heard snacks are fine and stuff, but big meals, really, you shouldn't do. I'm assuming you do that.
Yeah, that's a huge problem because, I mean, I have a really big problem eating after a workout. And so I'll have an intense workout and I won't be able to eat for at least an hour and a half afterwards. And so
I do not have that problem.
That sets me back. And so, you know, I'll have my last big meal of the day sometime around like 8:30. And so, and then, you know, I'll have a snack before I go to bed. So that definitely messes with my insulin levels and the, you know, they say like an insulin crash in your sleep can wake you up and things like that. And so there's just certain things like that. That I could definitely get under control a lot more, but you know, this podcast isn't about me. It's about you. So you're the one who has the right sleep. So all these things that that she's telling you, actually, you can also find in a great book that we've both read and we endorse. It's called, Sleep Smarter by Sean Stevenson.
That's the homie right there.
Yeah, he's got the great podcast from my hometown, St. Louis. So yeah, so I highly recommend picking up that book. That shows you a great amount of information, and he shows the mechanisms in terms of hormonally behind it, but it's not too heady, it's not overly detailed, and doesn't read like a anatomy textbook. So I highly recommend that. Okay, so you talked about your nighttime routine, but you also talked about the importance of the morning routine. So why don't you lay out your morning routine and how crazy that is?
Oh, well, first of all, I jump, fly, dive out of bed. No, I'm just kidding.
She actually does like sing her way out of bed. It's very annoying. She'd be like singing the Winnie the Pooh song and shit. And I'm just like the exact opposite, grumpy as hell. I'm like, you need to not talk right now.
It's time to get up.
You don't understand. Like most people think it's fake on her story about that energy that she has in the morning. It is 100% genuine. And I can't handle it.
He needs his like coffee and alone time in the morning. Sometimes I respect that. And then sometimes I ask him a zillion questions. So, yeah. But okay. So I get out of bed and the first thing I do, which I used to not do, is drink a crap ton of water, like at least 16 ounces, probably more. I used to just go drink coffee. So I do that. And then I get my amino acids ready for my workout. And I head off to the gym, and then I have usually an intense workout, mostly strength training, but I'll do like HIIT or like endurance training, endurance, which is like more interval still. Mm-hmm. So I'll get a really good workout, hopefully get sweaty. Still so hard for me to sweat. And then I'll come back here and I'll have a protein shake really easy. I have it in my, metal shaker cup.
The ice shaker.
Yeah. It's the best. I'll link it. It's like one of my favorite shaker cups. Yeah. I have my protein shake and then I get in the shower and I try to coconut oil pull in the shower. So if you guys don't know what oil pulling is, it's when you swish like one tablespoon of coconut oil in your mouth and it helps, you know, fight bad breath, helps with your gum health, all these other things. So I do that while I'm in the shower because you're supposed to do it for like 10 minutes, which would feel forever if you were just sitting there. Mm-hmm. So I oil pull in the shower. And then I get out and I use my dry brush, which I'm obsessed with. You say I have soft skin though, right? It works.
It's great.
It's great. I use my dry brush and I put on my non-toxic lotion. And then I come out here and I eat. Usually, lately it's been overnight oats. My overnight oats, and I do my gratitude journal. And then I get to work, which usually starts with like a story or, you know, writing some fun Instagram content. So that's basically my full morning.
Or some photos or dancing outside in the courtyard at our apartment. It's so funny because I'll just be sitting there and there'll be people walking to work in the morning. They're like on their way down to the parking garage and they're walking by her and she's out there dancing around her food. Like, what the hell is this girl doing?
I swear our neighbor's going to think I'm crazy. I'm like, that's fine. They're used to it.
Oh, yeah. I take videos of it all the time. It's so funny, the looks on their faces. But
what do you love about your morning routine? What are like your must-dos?
Well, like you said, I mean, the water, I always do like lemon water and like some greens drink. And, you know, I do my hand ground coffee. So I come in and like grind the coffee up, and that's kind of a routine. I start listening to news.
Don't accidentally throw out his coffee, guys. Ooh. You'll be in trouble.
But no, I, for some reason, I just like it, even though it could be very easily to get a very easy and cheap to get an electric coffee. I just like hand grinding it for some reason. There's something
it's like kind of it's peaceful like your meditation, kind yeah. of. Actually, so, I was going to tell you should do that without listening to something and just meditate while right. you do it. Because no. they have the, have you heard of the tea meditation?
No.
The tea, it's like, it's a lot of people really like it. You like make tea and you're supposed to be like very in the moment. Like you make your tea and you sip it and then you're like very, like you're meditating while you're making it and then while you're drinking
it's very it's conscious slow. The whole time.
Yeah, very yeah. conscious and like. Which I thought was interesting because I kind of
appreciation of everything.
Like, yeah, I kind of like the idea of doing because it's hard to like meditate and sit still.
Yeah.
So kind of like maybe you should try that. Don't listen to any podcasts. Yeah. Meditate on your coffee. Maybe.
Yeah, it's mostly I usually listen to either music or news or something like that because like I'll try to shut off the news at one point. But, you know, sometimes it's just you wake up and you read something and be like, oh, and you got to jump on it or whatever. So that's kind of can be a very bad routine depending on what the news is for sure. It can start you off on the wrong foot. But yeah, and then while I'm doing that, listening to all that kind of stuff, I make my subs for my workout and then start doing some writing and some research for some posts. And then, so yeah. And so that'll pretty much lead me all the way up to my workout.
Yeah.
But my routine isn't nearly as productive. Like I'm not doing, you know, guided meditation and I'm not doing all this other stuff. Like what the amount of stuff that you can fit in your morning routine while you're doing an Instagram story just baffles me. But that's also, but that's also because like she also gets a lot better sleep. So she pops up just like ready to go. Like I'm like, you know, this ion propulsion jet that just like starts off very slow and then can just grow, get gradually, you know, throw up speed.
See, tip of the day, work on your sleep and yeah. then your morning routine will be very productive.
Oh, yeah, the difference is just night and day. Absolutely. So obviously we talked about a lot of things today. So out of everything that you take into consideration that you're focusing on throughout your day, what is the one thing you would say to focus on, the key focal point to mastering your health?
To me, that's getting back to eating more whole foods. Like if a majority of your diet comes from whole foods, you'll feel better, you'll have much more energy, and you'll be able to do all these other things, and that will affect, you know, your sleep, your workouts, like everything you do in life. So that's really my biggest takeaway, is to really transition your diet to way less processed food and just save the fun foods for special occasions. And that for me was the most life-changing aspect of my diet, for sure.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
Simple
Thanks
enough.
Thanks everyone for joining. It was super fun. And I can't wait to interview Chris on our next podcast.
Yeah. And obviously you can always send us some notes about podcast topics you want to know more about. We're always up for listening to suggestions. And so you send those in and we welcome the feedback.
Bye.
See you.